So let us move on to the next item, which is any other business. Here we have the proposed development in Yao Chong Bay Comprehensive Development Area. And I would like to welcome some representative from the government. But while they get ready, perhaps members could go through your materials that a background note has been prepared with two pages and 10 sheets of annexes, because this particular project does have a very long history and background, that it has come back to the task force quite a number of times. And the web link to all the materials that have been discussed in the former HEC and that of the task forces, altogether 6 links, has already been provided by the secretariat. So before we quickly go through this, may I invite members to declare interest on this if you have any? Yes, Franklin.
Thank you, Chair. Well, the project proponent, while we do not have business dealings with them at the moment, but they would be our potential client in the future. So
potential client is not a direct conflict of interest, but I think you would still be allowed and you're welcome to make comments on this particular project, because I don't consider this as direct, unless you consider it's inappropriate to give comments. But I think this conflict of interest is not that direct. Okay, so with this, let us now go to the paper, which is actually this slide just to give members an overview of why is it being put under the AOB. Because the site actually has a long history, as you can see in the reference material. So the proposed development at this Yao Chong Bay Comprehensive Development Area was considered by our task force twice in our previous meetings on the 16th of March and on the 19th of October. So at the task force meeting on the 19th of October, a yacht club center was put forward under this proposal, but the project proponent has already advised us that the yacht center did not form part of this scheme. And on the 9th of November, the project proponent has submitted further information to the Town Planning Board to support its application, which was then exhibited for public comments on the 16th of November. And in this connection, members were also informed about this via the HC Secretariat email on the 16th of November. So a summary of the further information submitted by the project proponent has been circulated to members prior to this meeting. So I hope that members would have a background on this particular issue. May I now invite Mr. Michael Chen from Planning Department. Let me welcome the members first. Okay, for the planning department, we have Mr. Michael Chen joining us, and then Ms. Karen Wong. From CEDD, we have Mr. Gordon Pei, and from Henderson Land Development Company Limited, we have Mr. Augustine Wong and Ms. Iris Jang. Welcome to the meeting. So may I now invite Mr. Chen to give us an update on the status of this subject planning application, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Lady. Good afternoon, members. In fact, the Chair Lady has given a very good explanation on the current status of this development. In fact, since last year, when the applicant has presented his proposal to this committee, the applicant has undergone further studies on how to develop this Yao Tong Bay area. And perhaps it would be more suitable for me to ask the applicant representative to give members a brief account of what has happened within the past year.
Okay. So now may I invite the representatives from Henderson Land Company Limited to give us an account of key amendments, just a summary we do, to the latest scheme that has been previously considered by the task force. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and good afternoon, members. As the Madam Chairman has wisely summarized, this case was presented to the task force in 2001 March and October respectively. In the original submission in March 2011, there was Low York Center proposed in the application, while in October there was York Center proposed, and then we have decided to take it further by preparing the technical feasibility studies to see whether it is technically feasible. Unfortunately, I'm afraid I'm now coming back with some not very good news. After carrying out the technical feasibility, we don't think that it is technically feasible to have York Center in Yau Tong Bay, and I'm very briefly go through the reasons for that. Well, I don't think I need to go through the 716, the upper building height, etc. So that's the 2011 March Low York Center. 2011 October, we have decided to incorporate York Center in this scheme. And then we decided to carry out the technical feasibility. But beforehand, let's look at the constraints, why we end up with some bad news today. Basically, we will relocate the saltwater pumping station from the northern side to the southern side, and that will create a 100-meter water barrier, low-touch area, to preserve the water quality of the pumping station on the southern side of the Yau Tong Bay. Moreover, there will be another water pipeline at the northwestern part of Yau Tong Bay. Again, this could pose another constraint for the location of the breakwater. To the very east of Yau Tong Bay, the water is too shallow and not suitable for the berth area. So with all these constraints in mind, we have carried out one very important assessment. That's the wave situation. And basically, there's a pretty standard, which the tolerable wavelength is about 0.15 meter. In case the boats would at jetties or quarry walls. So basically, the conclusion is the wavelength with brick water is totally not acceptable for York Center. Then the brick water is a must for York Center in Yau Tong Bay. Then there are two options. What type of brick water we can have? The first one is rubber mound brick water, which provides the best shelter for the water. However, it has other issues such as the water quality, and also, very importantly, the reclamation issue. With such rubber mound brick water, it will be difficult to consider this not a reclamation. So this will be a major legal issue. So we switch to another option, is the floating brick water. This may with very minimal structures on the seabed, and still wait to see whether this can satisfy the protection of harbor ordinance requirement. However, this type of floating breakwater, the efficiency in terms of the reducing the wave is not as good as the bubble mound. So let's look at the situation. That's the graph showing the low breakwater situation. So that's the basically the color pink is less than 0.15. That's suitable for York Center. So without the breakwater, nothing can be done there. So and then we switch to the floating breakwater. You can see that all the area within Yau Tong Bay, even with the floating breakwater, still the wavelength will be more than 0.15. So again, not suitable for the York Center. Well, with the rubber mound breakwater, in normal situation, we still can have part of the Yau Tong Bay suitable for that purpose, but obviously subject to the satisfying the protection of harbor ordinance requirements. In extreme weather, unfortunately, the Yau Tong Bay cannot satisfy the 0.15 meter wavelength requirement. So this table summarizes very briefly the pros and cons of the two options. Basically, one major issue is the reclamation. So the conclusion is, one, we cannot comply with the city's Port Works Design Manual 0.15 meter. Secondly, we have problem with the protection of the harbor ordinance unless overriding public leak test can be justified. Thirdly, even though you can satisfy on these two, the design will still subject to further study under the environmental impact assessment ordinance, because York Center is a designated project under Schedule 2 of the EIAO. So at the end, very reluctantly, although after spending millions of consultancy fee on the York Center, we have decided to take it away. And so in November this month, we have submitted further information to the Tamburlaine Board without the York Center, and with the land originally designated for York Center being reserved for hotel use. And I must emphasize that the vision for the hotel use is to preserve the government's position in terms of the future land sales, because it will be it's unclear what sort of use will be ultimately put on these two government land if the government don't reserve certain plot ratio or development intensity for these two sites. Then in the future, if they find that the two sites are not suitable for any other public use or recreation use, that will be nothing can be sold by the government in terms of land sale. So basically, the hotel are put here with development intensity reserved for the government to deal with it later. It doesn't mean that there's no way to change the hotel use in the future. So that's still open. The 716 can be amended in the future if there are suitable use can be identified in the future. There are two landing steps there, but I don't think that very too much. So, Madam Chairman, this was my very brief presentation on the latest situation. I'm afraid that I'm not bringing good news to the Commission this afternoon.
Thank you, but at least that's very informative, very useful, so that we understand what are the issues. So may I invite comments from members? Paul?
Chair, first of all, I'd like to take this under discussion with other members of the Society for Protection. Let me make some initial comments and queries. If we go back to your three points on why not, which I showed earlier on your slide, if we follow this, then we can't build any yacht centres anywhere in the harbour, which has never been the intention of protection of the harbour ordinance. The protection of the harbour ordinance is to safeguard the harbour, both in its physical shape but also in its use. And if there is no, if we don't allow people to moor boats and keep boats, then you can't use the water, then we basically lose the value of the harbour. We have here a bay where we could create facilities for people to moor the boats, and we can comply with the CD's Portsworth Design Manual if we provide the adequate wave attenuation, which can be provided. There is an issue there with one of the outfalls, which has to be reconsidered by WSD, but I don't think, you know, you have not mentioned where they are willing or willing to not to reconsider the outfalls, so that the water intakes there, so that you can actually build those the wave attenuation in the right location. So you have an option there. Then it comes to the overriding public needs test. Well, whether you have a floating breakwater or a rubble mound breakwater, basically it's the same thing. They basically both affect part of the water, and they so it doesn't matter whether it's you know, you do you have a rubble mound and it sticks a little bit over the water, or you have a breaking floating breakwater. They both basically have an impact on the use and the size of the water body. So then the question is, are you willing to go ahead and identify whether there's a public need? Well, this committee has made very clear, and this is a committee consisting of many members of the community, that they believe that there is a public need. Then it is whether there's an overriding public need and whether you have minimized the reclamation. Well, obviously you have studied the reclamation. You can't use a floating breakwater because it doesn't give you adequate wave attenuation. However, with a rubble mount breakwater, it would give you adequate wave attenuation. So it is completely unclear here why you make a decision not to proceed. It is complete. There is, out of this presentation here, I don't see any reason why this is not proceeding. It is a very subjective statement here, may subject to statutory control. Yes, of course it is statutory control of the protection of harbour. And so, you don't have to go through the process. So what? That's what you have to do. Are we going to do only projects in the harbour that will always avoid? So no piers in West Kowloon, no borings in Wan Chai at the you're not going to do anything. So it's not going to work as a process. So I just don't understand. From the applicant, speak clear. Why wouldn't you not do it? Have you been instructed by anybody in government not to proceed? Has anybody in government said that they don't want to support you in going through the process? I mean, this is not your decision not to go ahead. You'd like to go ahead. So why are you not proceeding? Who if government is not helping you to proceed with going through the protection of the harbor ordinance process for this project? Why is the water services and the drainage services guys not helping you making sure that there is room to move ahead? I mean, I just don't understand. I want to know where the obstacles are. Mm-hmm. Because we really have to deal here with the fact that there are obstacles put in front of the developer, which to me are bogus, other than trying to avoid work. Well, you know, I don't think avoidance of work is a respectable argument to come back to this committee to say we're not going to do your center because it cost me the time to do hard work. It's totally unacceptable.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other comments from members? Why?
Thank you, Chair. I just wonder what is the status of the application now. We understand that the applicant requests more time to sort out this sort of thing. But I mean, exactly where we stand at the moment.
Thank you. I think Mr. Chen can quickly allude us to the answer.
Yes, thank you. As the chair lady has already pointed out, the applicant has submitted further information to the timeline board, and we have published the further information. And after the publication of the further information for public comment, we will then submit the application to the timeline board for consideration in due course.
Is that clear? Okay. I think after all, this project has been a development by a private developers, and you have already proceeded with a lot of your plans, and there have been initial ideas of a yacht center that the task force would welcome and consider it being consistent with our harbourfront harbor planning principles. Okay, so with that regard, is a little bit disappointing to us that the yacht center has to be has been removed in your latest submission. But I believe that you have mentioned about the major obstacles that you have encountered, and that's why you have decided not to proceed. I just want to clarify from you, is that like what Paul has suggested, is it that the private developers have considered the different obstacles and then considered all these factors and decided not to proceed? Or is it that you actually want to proceed but you face certain barriers or challenges, especially like from the government, that this task force can help you to put certain pressure on or to re-examine in a sense? I mean, this makes a very big difference. If it would be the latter, then we have to examine all these obstacles, challenges more carefully, and how the two can work together perhaps. And I think it's important that members would raise your views on this in this particular item, because the view of the task force will be summarized and forwarded to the Town Planning Board for reference in considering this subject planning application. So can I have some response, please?
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, as I said very early, I'm coming today a lot with very good news. Actually, I think we have tried our best to see whether we can have that yacht center to be built in the Yaodong Bay, though the yacht center will not be part of our pilot project. What we are doing is just to propose a use for the government to consider in the future if they want to take it further. It will be entirely up to the government whether they want to do it. For our project, I must emphasize that this York Center or the CDD site or the all this government land. It's not part of the future residential development. So what we're doing is on top of that. So again, I think we have taken the advice of the task force, and we agreed that if we can propose something on the water, very nice, very beautiful, that will be good for everyone, including us as a developer of a project adjacent to the water. However, after going through all these obstacles, we need to overcome all these three obstacles. The first one is the standard. But if there's a way that the government can accept other standards or relaxation on that, then for the wave height issue, may be able to be overcome. However, this process may take a very long time. So that's why for us, we don't want to jump on too much. And so we take it away. But at the same time, it doesn't prevent the government or the task force, if they want to take it further, they can amend that part of the OZP, because that's not part of our residential development. So we have no problem to support if that's a very good use as, again, an owner stakeholder in that area. Secondly, about the protection of the harbor ordinance, what Paul has proposed is a very sensible way, if there's a mechanism, to decide whether certain reclamation is justified and can be approved. However, under the existing protection of the harbor ordinance, there's no such mechanism unless you go to the court to get a declaration from the court saying that that's complying with the protection of harbor ordinance, complying with the satisfying the overriding public need test. I must say, unfortunately, at the present moment, we don't have that facility, that mechanism in the ordinance for the time being. Well, for the third issue is the environmental issue that we have considered that in our book, in our studies, and certainly there are ways we believe very optimistically that can be overcome for the air emission or the noise, subject to certain control and design criteria to be imposed. So I think I don't think I can give a very quick and simple answer to your question, but I think we have conveyed our willingness to cooperate if there are suitable use can be identified in the future.
Thank you very much. Paul?
That makes it clear. So basically, we don't have a government proponent currently taking forward the plan for your center and marine uses in the bay. That's clearly made by the developer. The developer says, I can accommodate my plans to make it possible for a government department to take this forward. Clearly, no government department has come forward. Therefore, it's costing too much time. Time cost is expensive for the developer. Therefore, the developer steps back. Also, developer, maybe you can also identify who has advised you that there is no mechanism for establishing public overriding needs other than going to court. Have you taken advice from anybody in government telling you this? Who have you taken advice from to inform you? Because I'd like to understand that better. How you come to that understanding that this is the only way, because clearly the government should know better than telling you that you have to go to court to identify whether or not. But anyway, if you have identified that it's not yours but it's government, then it's basically to us, Chair, to make sure that government takes this on, becomes a project proponent, works with the developer to make sure that their development is designed in such a way that we have maximum opportunity to make good use of that bay, to improve the use of the harbor. So we have a bay. How do we make that possible? What can be done with that bay to make sure that more people can use the harbor in better ways? So who's going to take that forward within government? And that project proponent, rather than developer, seems to be the one that will have to sort out the whatever needs to be done regarding the PHO. So if I listen very well to the developer, isn't it not at all the developer that is not unwilling to do something? It's really government that doesn't want to do something. There's no project proponent with the government stepping forward. CDD doesn't want to step forward. Nobody, planning department doesn't step forward. No one is going to step forward. It is not at all the developer who doesn't want to do something, government. So this makes me even more angry and concerned about the development of this project, as we have been so extremely clear about taking the Yau Tong Bay opportunity of having a bay and using that bay to activate the water. So government has to come back and say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And then tell the developer, this is what we want you to do with your development to make it possible for us to do it. So can we have some answers to those issues that I've just raised, including who is giving you that information?
Okay, thank you. Well, maybe I let Mr. Wong answer this, who gave you the information first before I summarize this case.
Thank you. When we considered the recommendation on Yau Tong Bay beforehand, we got very authoritative legal advice from senior counsels and also from QC in London. And, well, Paul, you may disagree, but that's our advice, got from the our legal advisor. Because the harbour or the water belongs to the people of Hong Kong.
Yes.
Does any individual person believe that if that's not satisfying the overall public test, can go to the court? Yes. You may have a meeting, you may have different organizations saying so, but just any single person can go to the court to seek declaration. So that's not quite unsatisfactory situation. If there's a very clear spell out in the ordinance, there's a mechanism at the final say, that's perfect. However, the ordinance is so simple and straightforward. So if just, for example, if I don't like that, I can go to the court if I'm willing to spend the legal cost. So but I can understand your frustration, and I think I do have that frustration some time ago.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to thank the team and Plenty for updating us on this issue and the obstacles that has been faced. I think for this item, it is basically a Section 16 application that is in relation to what has been proposed. So I think issues like breakwater and how to use the bay, giving it more vibrancy and lighten it for public enjoyment and so on, it would be much wider than just, you know, this particular project that we have to deal with overall in terms of the action area. So for these particular Section 16 applications, I think from the task force point of view, we understand and we have listened to the obstacles, but we would you know, consider that without the York Center, it's actually kind of undesirable for such development, right? In a sense, to enliven the harbourfront area, so to speak. So this project isn't optimal or isn't very desirable in terms of meeting the harbourfront harbour planning principle, because in the previous submission, there's a York Centre, so we thought perhaps, you know, there are some elements that would be consistent with what we have been looking at. And for this project, we don't see this particular element, even though we would not be commenting on the rest of the planning applications issues. But I think that's what we will be. Yeah, and that would be summarized, and then the Secretariat would have my clearance before sending it to the Town Planning Board. Thank you very much for updating us on this, because this has been an important issue. Thank you very much. So, and also, I would like to inform members that there's a paper that has been circulated, which is this Yau Tong Lee Yu Moon Stakeholder Group, in respect to a private proposal to conduct a study on improving the Yau Tong waterfront area. And because at the request of the group, this has been circulated under confidential cover. So if members have any comments on this, please write to the Secretariat. And I think instead of giving individual comments, it would be good for the task force as a whole, for the Secretariat to consolidate our comments, if there's any, before forwarding this to the group. Mm. And the group will be invited to present its study outcome to us when it is ready. I just wonder, is there any idea when this study will be finished? That There's no idea. Okay. Anyway, so I think in this case that we have to wait. Once again, this is a private initiative. So if the private sector has taken this initiative to come up with a plan, some ideas, I think if they come back to share with us their ideas, it would be very welcomed. Paul?
Yeah, just I got that paper, the Lyson sponsored paper, isn't it? Yes, that was in the email. The link in there doesn't work. That allows you to download the plans. It doesn't work. It will be great, and I think that it's admirable that a developer who has some interest in the area is willing to spend money not only to look at his own site, but to develop plans for the site as a whole. So what I'd like to see is how does the developer want to engage us in his planning process? He's spending money on a consultant to develop a plan. Well, great, it's fine. Can he involve us in that process in a way? Can he invite us? Is there a brainstorming session, whatever? At least we can have, you know, can have the community some input in there. So I think if we can go back to them and say, well, you know, it's great that you don't do this. We'd love to be involved. Invite us, and then once you're done, then we can see the pictures.
So I think that could be an initial response already. Okay, pending comments from other members. So let's do it. I think, and the secretaries, please help us to check the link and to find out any mistakes in the login and the password, etc. So that is to keep us informed. And I think if the results are ready, we could have this as one of our action area to look at in the task force meeting. But right now we don't have a timetable. We can wait for that. So before we have this meeting adjourned, we need to have a view on what would be the next action areas for us to look at the next task force meeting. In view of the walk again, okay, good. I like to walk. Okay, well, I mean, in view of the comments that we have heard and that we have discussed, like issues of star ferry piers, like the pedestrian connectivities, like the review of the aggregate or the walking map, etc., I would propose that we once again focus on the Tsim Sha Tsui East and Tsim Sha Tsui West action areas for our next task force meeting, if it is agreeable. Because a lot of these, I think, is really in the details. We have to start with small areas. Of course, I agree with you that the whole area that we look after is much larger, but starting from small areas, we can have some progress.
So we're going to start very just on this area, the whole pier area. We're going to look at that, is it?
Yeah, I think Thomas have agreed to give us an update on this, at least, you know, the way forward, but I don't think we would be expecting very concrete plan, etc., but there would be an update on this.
It's good to walk around there.
Okay,
and see.
Thank
what
you. And Winnie?
Yes. Yes. Actually, we just said that LCST will come back with the enhancement of the South Bay Garden as well as the renovation of the Hong Kong Museum of Arts. So probably Tsim Sha Tsui is the action area that we should be looking at the next meeting. And if members are interested, we can also walk along the Tsim Sha Tsui East next time when we went on the connectivity. We can study, and this time we study the Tsim Sha Tsui, the central, more central part. So maybe next time we can walk on the eastern part to see what else we can do.
Okay,
the eastern part is not much to see. I mean, there's two foot bridges, and they're building the escalators, and that's it. And now you've got the plain promenade of France. I mean, there is not much to it except for the PTI roof and the disconnect with Signal Hill that we can identify. But that's, again, quite a distance. But the actual working and knowledge we want to have is about the Star Ferry Piazza. So I wonder whether we should just walk around the piazza, look at the bus stops, and really see what the problems are there, and, you know, because we've talked about it today.
Okay, so Paul, you would like to have a tour there, a walking
trip?
Well,
I'd like to spend a little bit of time walking around the ferry pier and the bus stop
okay,
to see what we can do.
Yeah. We need
Perhaps give us some time, and we'll work out with departments to see how we can do the walking tour.
Thank you very much. I think that would be very useful. And I think that comes to the last thing, which is the date of the next meeting. The next meeting is tentatively scheduled for January, February 2013, in coordination with the meetings of the Harbourfront Commission and the other task forces. So the Secretariat will inform members in due course. Is there any other business for members? If not, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for joining us today.